Hi, Craig.
Now recording.
Now recording.
Hi.
We're off to the races.
We're off to
races.
What's up?
That was not good.
That's a good subtle
reference to reference. Going to the track yesterday.
Inside yes. Reference.
Inside baseball reference.
Nice try.
Yep.
Nice try. Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. We're Brothers Geeks, we talk about geeky things. I am Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher and Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Good morning, my brothers.
And hello, Andrew.
And all listeners.
Mm-hmm. And the listeners, hello.
Don't interrupt me, Patrick.
Sorry.
We never interrupt each other on this podcast.
You're going to get it with both barrels.
Chris is bringing the heat this morning.
If you're interrupting me, you're going to hear it.
Don't interrupt me, Patrick. Don't
interrupt.
Just imagine that skit with Chris Farley when he's dressed up as a girl and he's like hammering fries and they're like, I thought you were on a diet, and he grips David Spade's neck, like, lay off me, I'm starving.
That is what I'm going to be doing today. That is my mood today.
Chris is going to grab people by the throat today.
Verbally.
Both
of you will suffer.
Bring it. In the words of The Rock, bring it.
Bring it.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa. This is episode number 127. We are recording this on February 8th. It's the 9th? What?
You don't know what day it is. Have you ever missed a day of work because you don't know what day it is?
No, I live my life in the moment, Andrew.
Oh, clearly.
Wow.
Hopefully Hannah knows what day it is.
Yeah, that's why this works.
My God, a truer thing you have never said. Dude.
Never, ever. Oh, that's awesome. Amazing.
So we're going to talk about Star Trek Picard on CBS All Access. This is episode 3. What's the name of this episode, Andrew?
The End is the Beginning.
Whatever that means.
I know, right?
We're going to talk about that, I suspect.
We're going to talk about that? Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, so now we're starting to get into the meat of it. I mean, it was like set up, and then last episode we talked about... spoilers, by the way. We're going to talk about all three episodes in spoiler-free fashion. So if you haven't listened...
spoiler-heavy. Not spoiler-free, spoiler-heavy.
I'm sorry. I keep saying we're gonna let free the spoilers, and it's kind of confusing.
No, we're gonna be free with this.
Yes,
we're gonna be free with our commentary. We talk about everything. If you don't want spoilers, leave. Go watch the episode and come back.
I'm just you think I'd be better at this 127 episodes.
I mean, we think that all the time.
We are pro.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
If only Chris. No, I'm not going to say anything. Because I don't want the metaphorical throat choke.
You want it? You're going to get it.
Whoa.
Lay off me. I'm starving.
Lay off. I'm starving. Picard episode 3, spoilers begin. So this episode we start to get into the real taste of it, or really do we? I feel like it was more set up.
Before we get into characters. We don't need to do a recap. Everybody can read recaps.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this episode is Rafi calling him JL. What the hell is that?
I had the same thing.
That is so cool.
I love it.
Their relationship is such that, the last thing in the world, if you're a fan of Star Trek and Next Generation especially, is no one in the frickin' world would call him JL. And so he calls him JL?
Yep.
That is hilarious to me.
You're happy about this. You need to convince me why this is a good thing, because it kind of bothered me.
Oh, really?
Well, I think
it humanizes him.
It humanizes him. Yeah. I liked it for two reasons. A, it humanizes him. And B, it gives you the immediate impression of how close they are. And like this, you know, he's moved on from his next gen crew. They're all doing their own thing. You know,
it's a commentary on his evolution as a human. That's the beauty of it. From this is why I love it, because he clearly learned the final three episodes of Next Generation. He learned. He went through an entire series where he was the
distant
distant captain who really sort of had very strong professional relationships. But he didn't get close enough to all the people who are around him, and they should have been the closest people in his life. And then the exact, you know, the final episode, he's talking about, I'm hearing the same goddamn thing. And what the frick is going on?
Okay, good.
I understand, dude. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, to Christopher's point, I think that...
Why is it doing that? Sorry, guys. Know.
Is it moving around a lot?
No, it's in my ear piece.
That's weird. But Christopher's point,
I need to stop moving my head.
Yeah, maybe.
So the story is? It really refers back to his learning that he needs to be more engaged with the humanity around him, and not be such a sort of professional, distant dude. And so he allows her. Clearly, their relationship is such that he allows her to call him that.
Well, so am I just...
They have that type of relationship.
Am I just living in nostalgia? Because all of Next Generation, everybody calls him Captain. He has such a, like an arm distance length from his crew the whole show. No one calls him Jean-Luc. The people who do call him
Jean-Luc... Guinan calls him Jean-Luc.
Guinan calls him Jean-Luc because they are friends and they're
saying that, yeah, that's the distinction. Guinan is on the ship, not a member of his crew.
Plus, there's like all these crazy theories. Like, if you want to go down a rabbit hole about Star Trek, read some shit about Guinan and her people. There's people who say that Guinan's people are the ones who turn into the Borg originally. So they're like old as crap, and they're the ones who like become the Borg, and that's why she kind of hand waves like they destroyed my people, but like that's they're the Borg. It's like the fan theory online, which I think is fascinating. But Guinan can call him that because they're friends. Vosh called him Jean-Luc because they were banging, and then but like everybody calls him Captain. And like I wanted her to be like Admiral. I wanted him to call. Okay.
See, I think you're living too much in nostalgia, buddy.
Maybe.
I think that you got to embrace kind of the evolution of the character over. Think about where he was.
Change? Is that what you're trying to say?
Say what?
He's changed. So
he has changed. Think about where he was in the first season, yelling at Wesley to get off the bridge. You know,
Wesley.
You brought a child onto my bridge. He totally doesn't interact. Very stilted interactions. He's kind of he's a very confident, very noble figure as a captain, but he doesn't have close personal relationships with anyone.
Yeah.
And that legitimately evolves over the course of the series. Mm-hmm. And he realizes by the end of the series, the kind of man he would rather be. And it's really in the movies, Generations and First Contact, and then, you know, the subsequent ones, that he really, you see the interpersonal relationships build with the next gen crew. I mean, he ends up being Riker's best man at Riker's wedding with Troy.
I remember kind of liking it. Is it not good? There's a
liking
lot of
what?
People. Generations, the movie Generations.
I remember thinking it was all right.
I liked all the movies except for the last one.
Star Trek Nemesis where he Nemesis. Fights his clone.
Nemesis that's is terrible.
That's poo. Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, Nemesis is important.
It should be a great one, but
why is Nemesis
important?
Where
Data
Well, because that's how Data dies. That's the really they're drawing on that point. Event in Nemesis to inform Picard and his guilt towards Data.
Right.
And because Data gave his life for Picard at the end of Nemesis. Yeah, I think that the movies really saw Picard becoming more interpersonally connected with this crew. And I think that I love that. I think First Contact is one of the best Star Trek movies. I think First Contact and then Wrath of Khan are the two best Star Trek movies.
Agreed.
Yeah. And Wrath of Khan might be just a great movie, period, not just a great Star Trek movie.
Well, I'm going to put that theory to the test. I've been given the thumbs up to show Hannah Wrath of Khan. I get to show her one Star Trek movie.
No, dude, you cannot show Wrath of Khan without showing her the original series Khan episode.
Okay, so
she needs to understand who Khan is.
You gotta do both.
I gotta convince her to watch the.
You gotta do both, Khan dude. Original series Khan episode. Okay. Then you'll understand.
To think about how that became like the genesis of the character. Like he appears in one episode of the original series.
Yep.
And then they base an entire movie around his hatred of Kirk.
Yep.
Brilliant.
And it becomes this fantastic performance by Ricardo Montalban.
Yep.
And he becomes one of the all time great movie villains.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, Shakespeare quoting, you know, genetically engineered tyrant on a spaceship with a bunch of cult followers who's just trying to destroy Kirk. It's amazing that actually like worked. And became this fantastic movie that's beloved by, you know, the fan base so much. And he appeared in one episode of the original series. It's not like he was a recurring thing. He's literally one episode.
What do you guys think of Rafi smoking drugs and being all like,
and the sad captain smoking too? That's an interesting sort of thing in this episode where human vices clearly are not like wiped out. I think it's consistent with the theme of the show, which is that humanity has flaws and will remain flawed. And our society may dramatically improve and technology will dramatically improve our quality of life and our ability to sort of live. But human beings remain fallible creatures. And so I like the perspective that is shown by this show, in that I think it highlights, and also in the central character of Picard, flawed, not perfect decision making, clearly has regrets still. And I think these little touches about the dude smoking a cigar on a spaceship. I mean, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
So, and also the Rafi in some sort of depression, or, you know, clearly she's not that emotionally healthy.
No.
She's off in the middle of nowhere. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that, I mean, to what you're saying, and I mean, you brought the guy smoking Rios. I think I'm not totally sold on Rafi as a character that I am engaged with and kind of liking yet, but the character of Rios, I kind of immediately, I don't know, it's not even like the Han Solo factor. Like, he seems like this rogue who's, you know, interesting and funny. Like, I don't, you know, he's got this like instant charm. I don't think he has any kind, he doesn't have instant charm at all, but I'm intrigued by Rios more than I'm intrigued by Rafi and like his backstory and where he's coming from. So I'm excited to see more about him and like how he left Starfleet, because we're definitely dealing with a group of people that are pretty damaged and alone. I mean, Rios is on the ship by himself. His only interaction is with an emergency medical hologram. Rafi's living off by herself, not having any neighbors. And then, I mean, Jurati ends up on the ship because she shares the need to kind of like find Maddox and find this woman, and
she has questions.
she has professional curiosity, I think, as much as anything. She wants to see this thing that Maddox made and experience, because it's
talk about like someone who can't like fulfill their like potential. It's like she's a expert in synthetics that when there are no synthetics, you know.
Yeah, they're like, not allowed to do research on synthetics anymore. Yeah, like she's in a field that is barred, like it's like being a stem cell researcher or something like that. You're like laws
you
limit
only
what
go
you
so
can
far.
Do.
Yeah,
exactly. And she clearly wants to go further. Yeah. That's like the extension of, he's like, you know what? I'm excited for more Rios. The episode ends with the big kind of swell of the original Next Gen theme.
Yep.
And them going into space. And love, I legitimately shit. Like I felt the like the warmth in my heart start to be to, you know, start to fill up when the theme started to play and they went to warp. I was like, this is awesome. This feels great. And I
I do feel good about the show, and I am enjoying aspects of it. But I wish, I don't know, like, I guess this is a lot of, like, character setup. I guess they spent 3 episodes, like, character setting up and setting up plots. And I think I would have enjoyed it if they'd gotten things moving a little faster. I felt like this episode was kind of boring. I was like, what is happening? Just, like...
Well, did you have a favorite part of this episode or least favorite? Did you?
I'm trying to think of favorite part.
I dug the fight scene when the Jad Vash, you know, death squad
boring,
showed up.
Boring. I thought it was
really
unnecessary. Like, I was like, why are they doing this again? Like, I guess just to remind us of the stakes, like they hadn't had an action sequence since the first episode. So, but it's sort of
you're contradicting yourself, Patrick.
It's sort of like, I didn't like that they had to pigeonhole an action scene in there. Like
you thought it was shoehorned in.
Yeah. I felt like it was, I didn't feel like it was necessary. Like, they could have done other things to show the drama or getting this, like, oh, feeling the pressure of something, like the bad guys are closing in, but they're not necessarily just dudes in black showing up and shooting up the place. I don't know. There's a lot of like mustache twirling, you know. It's just like,
well, I think I had this thought.
Bad guys are always in black and black motorcycle coats, just shooting up the place, who are really bad at it. They didn't kill any of them. They had the surprise, and they killed none of the people they were trying to kill.
Well, this goes to my point about the, I mean, I had the thought about when I was watching The Witcher, that at one point you want, I mean, The Witcher kills like 7 of your dudes with you. If you're like the 8th guy and you just watch him smoke 7 guys, why would you just run away?
You just run. Like,
so I can kind of get, I mean, yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying that way, that strains kind of the logic of it, that, you know, they can't even wound one of these, you know, two Romulans who haven't been training or battle tested in years, and Picard's like 90 years old and sick.
Right. And he's just got guns underneath every freaking table.
Well, I think that
house.
Is a, like, that's a reflection of the fact that he has 2 Romulan Tal Shiar agents who have taken on the role of being his caretakers.
Right.
That's them.
They've done that.
Yeah. They've done that. And they are clearly very adept at what they do. They are. Yeah, I mean, that I think was as much telling us who they are as kind of letting us know that there's still people who want to kill Picard just for what he knows or what he thinks, you know, they could possibly know about the Jad Vash agents on Earth. And I really like the Romulan agents and the Romulans that are living with him. I think they're either fun and interesting. I like the dynamic that they have, her being like,
okay, I've thought of the 2 things that my 2 favorite parts. I love Hugh coming back from Next Generation, and they don't really like hit you over the head with it that it's Hugh.
Yeah,
so you have to like pay attention. I like that because that was like interesting to see his progression of like where's he at and what, like, I had questions about whether this whole Borg thing, what's going on with this whole Borg thing, and Hugh is an interesting character, and I always liked him as a kid. And then two,
hold on a second. Before you move on from that, I completely missed this.
So the guy who is running the Borg cube, who's talking to
gets her in to talk to.
That's Hugh.
That's Hugh? That's
yeah. From the Next Gen episode, he's the Borg who
Holy
gets separated.
Shit. Seriously? God, I totally missed that.
Yeah, that's him.
Hey, I saw it from his face.
That's amazing.
He's aged.
He's 25 right? years older than he was. Yeah, I mean, he's pushing 50.
That's why I had this vague thought as I was watching this. Like, what about this dude? Oh,
the Borg dude.
I actually had that while I was watching. I was like, wait, but I didn't go down the rabbit hole of figuring out why do I vaguely recognize this guy and I like him.
Yeah,
and look at him that I really like, and I didn't connect those dots, and I didn't follow up. And
he did the last time we saw him, because he was a Borg. He was
the prosthetics still on him. He was still white. You know, he was still kind of in that white cake Borg makeup.
Right.
You know, this is clearly
one eye covered, and
Borg components have been completely removed. You see he's kind of got like the little sockets on his face that haven't been removed, but he has been de-Borgified.
He's like Seven of Nine-ish, you know. It's like all the stuff that you could take out,
even though she have. You know, Seven of Nine is a 6-foot blonde woman with just that tiny little like silver eyebrow. Showing up. Jeri Ryan, she'll show up as Seven of Nine at some point in the series.
I'm excited about that too. I love that character. I mean, Voyager was not perfect at all, but like she was a very interesting
I like that show.
I like Voyager too.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but very fun to watch. No. Like
I think Voyager got more of the United Federation of Planets is not the superpower that it was in Deep Space Nine or Starfleet. Like Voyager, there was still like the idea was there are still unknown places in the galaxy, and we're gonna be encountering that. Just trying to get home. Yeah. So that part of it, like them being, you know, the lone starship and not being like the superpower with this fleet of 10,000 ships behind them.
Right.
It eliminated the Deus Ex kind of.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we're just gonna call 10 other starships to show up.
Yeah.
And save us.
Everything will solve.
Is, like, there are aspects of that show where they're flying through space where they are. I mean, the Federation are a powerful fleet. Like
absolutely.
They have good ships. They have good. They have very.
They got the best
their
tech.
Technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their technology is very advanced. They have replicators and transporters and good phasers.
Oh no, that's what set them apart. That's why they were chased by all those races for the first couple seasons, because they had more advanced technology than the races.
Everybody wanted
their
ship.
Everybody wanted Voyager for what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, I'm you bring up the Hugh being on the Borg cube on the artifact cube, and I liked the Soji interaction with the Borg that they've clearly been de-assimilated, but they have some obviously residual trauma. And
there's a question behind the question, Andrew. Are all Romulans kind of like mentally damaged? Because like all the people in that room who were like clearly had trauma were Romulans.
Well, that was I picked up on those people in that room are the most like the last people that were assimilated. So they would have been the most recent assimilated Borg. The Borg encountered a Romulan ship and they assimilated those people. So those people were the most, and then whatever happened with that artifact to disconnect it from the collective and have its issues that now that they're disassembling it, essentially, they were the most recent assimilated people. So they still had whatever kind of individuality, it wasn't completely maybe, you know, Picard was able to regain his individuality, but he was only assimilated for, I mean, a few weeks maybe at the most in Next Gen. So we know that it's possible for that people to regain their individuality if they've only been assimilated for a really short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can come back. So those Romulans were the most recent assimilated Borg. Soji knew things that she shouldn't be able to know. So the Jad, I mean, the
well, yeah, because she's
the complexity of what we're talking about.
Who knows everything, but she doesn't know that she knows
exactly.
Everything.
But she should know things that. So her backstory and how she interacts with these Borg and what she knows, like, there's lots of layers to this conspiracy. And I mean, I'm really interested. The mystery that they're building over this 12 episodes or how many ever episodes they're going to do. I mean, like, I'm bought into it, so I'm really excited to see where that goes. I have a thought this week.
I want to do a callback to you guys to see if you guys notice this. Do you guys notice the Romulan guy who's secretly hitting on Soji, the actor? He's got a beard, he's got like shaggy hair, he's got the sister who's like he's on the Borg cube, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
His name is Harry Treadaway.
He was Dr. Frankenstein on
Dr. Frankenstein on freaking Penny Dreadful.
Yep. That's
oh my God, that's right.
I pointed that out to Ashton the other night. Yeah.
I just had this moment looking at the IMDb right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is. He's a great actor. I like him.
We all love Penny Dreadful, and actually, they're talking about bringing that back. Did you guys hear that?
Oh no, they've got season one in the can, dude. It's going to be on Showtime this summer.
What?
Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. There's a trailer for it online.
That's right. That's right. Dude, I'm so excited about that. Anyway,
I might get Showtime for to watch Penny Dreadful.
We might have to do some one shots about Penny.
Maybe if it's any good.
City of Angels. If it's any good.
Yeah.
It's got to overcome my dissatisfaction with the end of that show.
It's just kind of a bad resolution. Not the one we wanted.
I mean, it's a totally new story. It's set
70
years later in North America in L.A.
All right.
That's
it's a
so
totally
cool.
different set of mythology.
Totally,
I think
they have to do that.
I agree. Yeah, they're gonna
shit.
New beginnings.
They put out.
I agree.
Anyway, back to Picard.
Yeah.
My second favorite thing is I really like Allison Pill as a character and an actor.
Yeah.
And like anytime that she's in it, but there was one scene that made me literally laugh out loud when the Romulan/Vulcan commander for Starfleet shows up and she's got sunglasses on. Like, it just took me out of it. Like,
yeah,
why are you wearing sunglasses? No one wears sunglasses in Star Trek. I don't know. Like, that's a wrong reaction. I know that. Like, obviously it's sunny in the future. It's like,
well, it's no one hard. Smokes a cigar or vapes in Star Trek
right.
either. So yeah. that there are, right. there are some definitely touches that are wait,
that are what? They're changing what? Stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's touches different. Of, and I mean, even in the first episode, Picard wears a suit and tie. Like there are through lines of human culture that they are, you know, making conscious choices to pick up. It's
well,
not like,
yeah, I mean, the shows have been sterile. At least yeah, Next Generation was very kind of sterile.
Right.
It was still part of that Roddenberry idea of, I mean, yeah, they had books and they still drank tea, but
right.
None of the uniforms had pockets.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Like didn't think like of human beings. You know, I mean, you're on a starship. You don't carry car keys or a wallet, but you're going to want to put something in your pocket maybe or,
well,
you know, keep a handkerchief with you or,
Here's something that bothered me about.
They don't get colds, right?
The next gen, like, outfits whenever they would go to, like, a new planet. It's like, why wouldn't you just wear, like, why wouldn't you have, like, a away mission outfit?
That's why they
it's
put like, coats survival, on, dude.
The survival. Exactly. No, but like survival gear and stuff. It's like you got like water with you.
That stuff had pockets.
But backup water, backup
well,
oxygen.
I mean,
if like
you didn't need, but you don't need backup water when you're on a starship where the replicator can give you water
and you can be beamed up at a minute's notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like the what is the beaming device? Why am I blanking on this? Is
transporter?
Jesus. Why? Sorry.
His coffee hasn't fully kicked in yet.
It hasn't kicked in yet, guys. Leave me alone.
I do like though. I mean, they're making conscious choices to limit kind of like the all powerful technology that we've seen in previous that we saw on kind of Next Gen. Like everything can be solved by tapping a few buttons on the computer. Like
and this is
the
this
fact
is
that there are kiosks
in the future.
Well, I'm just saying there are kiosks, there are transporter kiosks. Like, you can't just instantly materialize and dematerialize all over Earth. You have to, like, go
to live in that world, however.
I mean, you can walk through a kiosk and you'll show up places, or you have to, like,
so
it's like a transportation system rather than just like everyone has a home transporter. You put in coordinates and you're instantaneously there. I like the fact that you have to go somewhere, walk into a kiosk to transport somewhere. Or you have to, like, take a cab. Like, you, like, he couldn't transport to Rafi's location. He has to take a shuttle.
Yeah, so, like, how far? I mean, you need, like, a pad. You can't just, like, you could site to site, but they always talked about that in Next Generation. Like, it was like a bat. It was like, it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah,
like,
especially
if you're going over long distances.
The technology hasn't sufficiently advanced that everyone has, like, a micro transporter embedded in their body that they can instantly just transport everywhere.
Like, they do have those. Like, we've seen those where the Dura sisters, like, you know, click on a thing and they vanish.
Well, they have the micro transporter in the end of Star Trek Nemesis. That's
like
how Data saves
Picard. You're about to get killed.
Yeah,
like, you might as well use your emergency site-to-site transporter that's not a pad and then just get the F out of there, because you're going to die either way. Or you're going to get captured, which is worse. And getting captured in Star Trek is always, like, a kind of a scary thing, because you live in the future where people don't give a F. Especially, like, Romulans and Cardassians could just torture you and do terrible shit to you all the time. Like, Star Trek has, like, elements of, like, really, like, scary shit.
Well, the whole episode series where, I mean, it's some of Patrick Stewart's best work, where he gets captured by a Cardassian and tortured.
There are four lights.
There are four, and he's, you know, just that shit is dark as hell.
That is so dark. They keep him for days.
Yeah.
He's just, It's really good. Anyways, I don't know. Okay. So, like, I will say this before I go any further, is, like, I am enjoying the show. I'm not going to stop watching it. I like Picard, but there are parts of it that I'm struggling with as a fan. Is, like, I always love that, like, Starfleet is the beacon, that rock, you know, the thing that like you can count on. The future is advanced. We're all about peace and exploration and, like, helping people. And, like, we're a coalition of planets that brings people together. And, like, it's like this warm blanket, you know, and I feel like this show is like setting the blanket on fire. And I don't know if I like the creative path that they're going down.
It's an interesting choice, because there are definitely, if you think back to Next Generation, even there are touches of, they don't really dwell on it because it was so episodic, but there are absolutely windows into, again, human political structures have all the human flaws, right? And so there were windows into political power plays and maneuvering and vengeance and challenges in terms of power at the Starfleet level, right? Diverging interests, people.
Well,
were,
there's always there's a lot of episodes where the Admiral is, like, goes bad, you know, he shows up and he's got, like, his own selfish.
That's, like, exactly my point. Well,
Think about the fantastic episode where the investigator, Nora Satie, shows up and begins this witch hunt.
The drumhead.
And Picard makes this fantastic speech about personal liberty.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, government responsibility.
There are edges of that, right? But it really didn't dwell on it. And we all sort of, I agree with you, Patrick, that we're all the images you have about Starfleet is this more perfectly realized human existence, but there are definitely flaws.
Yeah.
And
the
challenge for this show is it puts the flaws out front and center.
Yeah.
I always took that as Starfleet is, like, the beacon, the set the example. The idea of Starfleet is good. It's just, like, people in it are obviously messed up and flawed, and it can be selfish and can be and do their own things for, like, most of the time they're doing stuff to protect, like, what was the name of, I don't remember the name of the episode, but it's the episode where they're, like, making a cloaked ship, and, like, they're trying to cover it up. The Admiral shows up and he's like trying to cover up this cloaked ship that Riker was part of. And it's like, that was really interesting because it's
Where they were violating, the Admiral was violating the treaty and there was an accident and
It really interesting stuff like that. There's always
Picard loses some, he's unhappy with number one, right?
He actually loses some trust in him.
Yeah, that whole episode was amazing to sort of reflect on their
There's touches of like Admiral. Maybe my idea of the Federation and Starfleet is sort of
I think that we don't want our idea of it to be static and stagnant think about the world that they're in. And if the timeline that they're in, they fought a terrible war with the Borg a couple of times. They fought a year-long Dominion War that, you know, decimated a lot of the Alpha Quadrant. They were victorious, but
here's something that you like that if you didn't watch Deep Space Nine, and it sounds like a lot of these people didn't, is like the Romulans were our allies in the Dominion War.
Aside all of our terrible rancor. It's like the Dominion wants to conquer all of us.
It's like the Soviet Union
and the United States coming together Nazis. To defeat the Nazis.
Yeah.
They weren't like going to be friends afterwards. They just realized that, you know what, the Nazis are worse. We need to work together to take these
I guess you're right. I was just hoping that like that would resolve the Romulan conflict a little bit. It's sort of I guess not.
I think that having the idea of, we have the idea of Star Trek and Starfleet as its kind of, you know, main tool of they're explorative, they're encountering these races, they're bringing our most idealized version of what a human being is. Like, we believe in personal liberty, we believe in compassion, we believe in, you know, making the effort to understand everyone around us. Those human ideas that are the best parts of us. But
the shows have always done a good job of about the tension between, and this is how I've always looked at it and framed it, is that Starfleet is either an extension of human curiosity or an extension of human power.
Yeah.
And that tension has been through all the shows, right? So I think that they are focusing more on that sort of side of Starfleet as an extension of human power and choices. If you're driven by those types of choices and the framing of what Starfleet is, you're going to piss off people like Picard who view it as an extension of human curiosity.
Yeah.
And therein lies the central tension of human life. Mm-hmm. And I think therein lies the what's interesting about what Picard is examining, the show.
I also, another thing that I actually really liked was, I'm fascinated by, EMH, programs. Like, the Doctor is the most famous EMH program, the emergency medical hologram.
Yeah.
And this guy, what's his name? Rios?
Rios
on his ship. He's all by himself and he has a crew of we show two at least EMH programs or
holographic E&H, crew
which I think is very interesting. I love there, my brain starts to like go crazy about like, because there's all this like hologram technology and they can interact with the world, you know, they can pick up stuff and they can be doctors and they can move stuff and work on stuff and they can be very intelligent according to the Doctor. The technology has advanced 30 years, and without synths being a thing, you cannot make robots like Data, physical, tangible robots, but you can make synthetic, you can make a hologram.
Well, who knows? We might learn that, you know, the because you hit the nail on the head. They do have a level of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
I mean, but they don't have personal freedom in the sense that they can't activate themselves.
They can just be turned off. Right.
Yeah, you can just, if you don't want to deal with your EMH, if you don't like what he's saying to you, you turn him off.
Yeah.
So it's still a program that a human being controls. But who knows? Part of the reason that, you know, whatever happened in Rios' past where he is no longer in Starfleet, because he makes that little speech about, you know, I had a captain that I believed in. I mean, Rios knows Picard. And that's another part that I liked, really liked about this episode. Picard is a legend in this world.
He's a For people who know,
I mean, they started to list his accomplishments, the EMH, when they're talking, he lists what he did. And they're like, this is the most, I mean, he's kind of had a fall from grace in the sense that, his most recent failure had this, or his most recent mission had this colossal failure associated with the destruction of Mars, but by the synths, but he is still a legend in a lot of people's minds. They see him and they see the greatest, one of the greatest captain of their lifetime. And we get that from Rios that yes, he knows Picard. He's a fan of him, but he's keeping that part of himself secret from Picard because he had a captain that he loved and believed in, and something happened where that trust is gone now. And he doesn't want to let himself go to the place where he finds another kind of leader to follow and be inspired by. That's why he's alone. He doesn't want, he's closed himself off from being, he believed in Starfleet. He was a Starfleet officer. Something happened where he left Starfleet because he lost faith in his captain. It sounds like to me.
No, well, you're getting my brain like working. I always thought that people in Starfleet are very strong and they go to these crazy planets and they see this crazy shit and they see people melt in front of them, their crewmates melt in front of them. And human beings, like we go to war or battle or something and we have like PTSD.
I'm sure that's some of what he's talking about.
And there are probably Starfleet dudes running around or former Starfleet people who quit who are just like scarred for life because seeing your friend get shot is like one thing, but seeing your friend get pulled into black sludge and then eaten by a giant pool of black goo, like that'll mess you up, dude. Like you'd never be able to like sleep again.
I totally get what you're saying. And I think that what we're realizing now is that, you indicated from the beginning of this episode that you struggled to find things that you liked about this episode. But we've been talking about this episode of Picard for 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's true.
And this episode is only 43 minutes long. So at least it gave us stuff to talk about.
I agree. There's a lot of
complex show. I like it.
It is a complex show. It's got all these layers and.
But what I am saying is like for progression wise is like I feel like for three episodes they've been introducing characters, setting up the world and.
But we're watching a novel. We're not watching episodic television.
Sure.
We're not watching that syndicated 22 episode.
I think that there was a lot. I mean, I was hoping that they were just going to hop in a ship immediately, but it's sort of I get what you're saying. Like it's. I could have done with the end of this episode where they fly off into space. I could have done with that by the beginning of the second episode, honestly. Like I've been waiting for them to like get on with it. Like you can introduce characters and progress the story while you're moving the plot forward. The plot hasn't moved. Like
I disagree.
Nothing has happened.
I disagree with that assessment very much.
Okay.
I think we're learning a lot. We're getting to know these people. I don't need it all to be plot. I want to live with Picard a little bit. I want to see what his life is. I want to get to know Jurati. I want to get to know Rafi, even though she doesn't seem like she'll be my favorite. I want to get to know Rios. I want to get to know the two Romulans.
I want to get to know Rios, and I want to know more EMH programs. I want to know more about what's the name of the doctor Allison Pill's character?
Jurati.
I want to know more about her. It looks like the preview for next week is he goes to a Romulan like colony or like refuge of some kind. So
we know there's a segment of Romulans that view him as a savior because two of them have been living with him for 15 years. So it looks like we're going to encounter more Romulans like that.
Yeah.
And Patrick, I in fact have a completely different view of this than you do. I would have been happy with this show being all about Picard on Earth.
Oh wow.
Frankly, I am more worried about now we're in a ship and now we're going to do the Star Trek cliche show. Oh. That That's where we're
that's
headed.
What I want from Star Trek.
No, see the those not days need to like be that. Over. You got the show needs to evolve. The sense of the show needs to evolve. The sense of the universe has been changed by the new movies, which has more. They're grittier. They're more realistic. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, that was our problem with Discovery. Was that the Discovery like actions show, which is like there nobody was likable and the characters all hated each other, and it was like, what is this show?
My hope is that they fall into the trap of the Star Trek episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that from a show that's called Picard. I want it to be. I want it to be a deep dive into what he says about humanity in that time and place in the Trek universe. That's what I want. I don't want to let's go fight some baddies on a planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need that. I've watched that. I've been a huge fan of that stuff. I love that stuff, but I need more than that from Trek these days, and so I'm hopeful.
I don't
these first three episodes, let me finish.
Oh, sorry,
these first three episodes have been exactly the kind of thing that I want to see from a show called Picard. That's the point for me.
That is not my critique on the show whatsoever. I want the quiet, like, take your time, think
you
about
just said you wanted to be on a Hold ship on. And fly away in the second episode.
Well, yeah, but I want the science and the interaction and the experience of Star Trek, which I have, is like you go off and you get in adventures, and it doesn't need to be like ship battles, but you could be like solving things with science, like getting into alien political, you know, turmoil, solving problems with your ambassadorship, you know, getting like asking questions of humanity and what it means to be human and what it means to be part of Starfleet with the Prime Directive and like not getting involved in other planets' cultures and stuff like that. That's what I want from this show. Like it you can do what you're talking about and what I'm talking about and move the plot further and keep the viewer engaged. I feel like the structure of the show is just not very put together well. I feel like there's a lot of like, let's set this up. You can set up and introduce characters and move and have like character progression and also move plot forward and keep the viewer engaged. Like I feel like that's what's missing necessarily. The structure is bothering me, I guess. But
I don't have any of that.
Okay. I don't have any of that either.
Well, I'm like I said, I'm liking it. It's just sort of like I have to give my criticisms of it for posterity.
Yeah, no, that's
You're
totally legit.
That's absolutely they're valid, and I think the security blanketness of what you're talking about, you kind of missing that classic next gen feel. I can understand that. I'm content with the show as it's presenting itself right now. If it doesn't resolve well, will I have issues with the fact that they took multiple episodes to set up this long kind of mystery plot and Picard kind of readying himself to go back into the world? If it doesn't resolve well, I think I might have issues with when it fit that way. But I'm content with just letting it exist as it is right now and seeing where it goes. And not having the need for my expectations of what I loved previously about Star Trek influencing how I watched this show.
I'm not above saying that that's what's happening to me either. Like
that's a legitimate reaction.
I have too much Star Trek baggage in my heart, and that could be influencing how I feel about this. Absolutely.
I think you can take hope from the fact, Patrick, that they already approved season 2.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
if
season two got approved before they dropped the first episode.
I was just going to say to you, like, are they going to kill Picard at the, is the resolution they, Picard sacrifices himself and like, are they only make, so they're making two.
Season two has already been approved. So that if we only get, like I said, we're only getting three like setup episodes and the rest of it's going to be let's go. And then, and there's two seasons of it. At a minimum, three episodes seems like very little in terms of setup. Now they're in space. They're going to space. They're doing their thing. It's Star Trek. So,
well, and then,
I think you can take some positive from that idea alone.
Yeah.
And whatever, and you know what's great about like them approving for season two is like anybody who we aren't seeing in season one, like Next Gen cast or Voyager cast or Deep Space Nine cast can suddenly become like, this is like, oh, I'll come and do one episode, you know, like
for sure.
Commander Sisko shows up and he talks to,
well,
you know,
dad even brought dad. I mean, dad being the fan that he is of Star Trek and bringing that to us and having it become such a lifelong thing for us. We were talking last night at dinner. Patrick Stewart appeared on The View and invited Whoopi Goldberg to appear in season two as
she's going to be in season two.
Oh my God.
So that's happening, which was, I mean, it was a nice moment. And I saw the moment online too. Dad hasn't watched the show yet. He doesn't have CBS All Access.
Dude, I mean, it's okay that like Guinan has aged and she's not a part of a race that like ages very quickly, which is amazing. Like interesting, but like, I don't care. Bring her back. Like,
oh no, it'll be fun. I mean, the interaction between Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Stewart was great.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts? We've been talking for almost an hour. Any final thoughts?
Anyways, Andrew, do you have any trivia for
us? I sure do have trivia for you guys. And it's
trivia.
And I'm glad you brought up
Hugh. Or it could be Oscars trivia. Today's the Oscars.
It's not Oscars trivia. It is Star Trek trivia. Because forget the Oscars.
Yeah, I agree.
So we talked about Hugh appearing in this episode, and he appears in the season 5 episode called I, Borg, where he is part of a small ship that crashes and he is liberated to some extent from the collective and regains some of his individuality. My question to you is, what was his Borg designation before he is named Hugh by Geordi LaForge? He refers to himself as his Borg designation through some of the episode. What designation is that?
I think he's like 3 of 5 or something like that. I'm trying to remember.
Christopher, do you have a guess?
No.
No?
I have no clue.
Yeah?
No clue.
I think it's like 3 of 5.
Patrick is absolutely correct. He is 3rd of 5.
Wow! Way to go, Patrick!
Yep.
You know, I'm a Star Trek fan.
Pull that man. Shit out of your rear end.
Yes. It's pretty awesome. Yep.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, all those things. You should follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek at
follow our new Instagram, Brothers Geek Do Stuff.
Brothers Geek Do Stuff.
Cool.
We didn't even mention the Gorn Easter egg. Did you guys catch the Gorn Easter
egg?
What's the Gorn Easter egg?
Tell us. Was it Gorn Easter egg?
Yeah. Well, you know that where she lives is.
We mentioned that in the second episode.
Oh, right. Vasquez Rocks. Yeah.
But this episode had even more of an overt Gorn Easter egg. When she's doing her research on the screen, when she's doing the crypto sort of, you see the code and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a reference. It actually says Gorn egg.
Oh, geez.
Yep.
That's what I love.
There are images of it online.
I want more of that. Like maybe like subtle stuff.
You want fan service is what you want.
Hold on. Not like this.
This is cute, clever stuff. It's not
I want
overt.
Cute, clever stuff. Yeah, I don't want in your face. Hey, you remember Star Trek? I want like Gorn egg listed on a screen. I want like little stuff that if you know more about Star Trek, it's like
I feel that
I'm here for that.
Brothersgeek.com, Brothersgeek podcast on Facebook. Yeah, follow Andrew's Instagram, Brothersgeek, do stuff. Maybe we'll actually do some stuff and put it on there.
We will.
I think so.
Thank you for listening. And engage.